Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene.
And it's Jeff.
Faith Grind Inspired Podcast. On this week's episode, on today's episode,
Madison Square Garden,
you are going to be amazed by this conversation we have with these two ladies.
With Huda and Malia.
My name is Huda Ayaz. We're both published authors. I've published 5 books so far, and Malia has 2. Today, we talked about our books, talked about diversity and entertainment, a lot of other good stuff, and had a really great conversation.
We hope you guys enjoy this one.
Oh, man. Right. Tune in.
Definitely.
We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspired Podcast with your host, Gene Alert.
Welcome back to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire Podcast. I am your host, Gene Alert.
And I'm your co-host, Jeffrey Patrick, the host with the most and the totes.
And the toast!
Let's do it!
Yeah, that's my favorite part, bro. I swear.
Let's do it.
So, man, how's your weekend, bro?
It's been uneventful. It's been uneventful, but I was busy writing papers and getting ready for classes to start here in a couple weeks. So,
okay.
You know. Okay. Let's get rocking, though.
Yeah, let's get rocking,
Malia,
man.
Malia and Huda Ayaz.
We have 2 special guests. Usually we have 1, but today we have
Huda
2.
And Malia Ayaz, right?
Yes.
Ayaz, that's right.
Ayaz.
Right.
And before we start, I want to give my man a birthday shout out.
Yeah,
brother, come here real quick. Come here. Introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm Malia's brother. My name is Zayn.
And it's his birthday today.
Shout out.
Happy birthday, Zayn.
Happy birthday, man.
Leo's in the house.
Literally three Leos. August
9th. Wow.
So I just turned 15.
And mine is in a
week. My wife's a Leo, too.
My mom and my father.
There are way too many Leos on this earth.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool.
A lot of lions over
there. A lot of lions, right? So I want to say thank you guys for coming on. This podcast is all about the mindset of entrepreneurs, right? And I was fortunate to, on Sunday, come and lecture to you guys about entrepreneurship and the ups and downs and stuff in Westbury.
Yeah.
And we were talking about real estate and all this stuff. And at the end of the presentation, the teacher said, well, there's 2 authors in the audience.
Yeah.
And they wrote like 1 million books each. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like 12. You know?
No.
So she was like, yeah, they started, you know. But anyway, so I said, after looking at your bios and reading about you guys and just seeing who you guys were, I spoke to Jeff, spoke to the producers, and I said, we got to have them on.
Wrote like 5 books?
Yeah, 5 books.
Yes. 5?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
She's at 5.
She's the pioneer in our family.
She's the pioneer. Yeah. She's the pioneer in a lot of families. Right? So, because a lot of people are adults, you know, and they can't write 1, you know? So I want to clap it up for you.
Yeah, for
thank
real.
You.
You know what I'm saying?
For real,
so,
for real.
So thank you guys for coming on.
I want to get into it.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, I want to get into it because first I want to know is what is the first thing you do when you say I'm going to write a book? What do you do? Come on.
First thing I do?
Yeah, what is the first thing you do? This is Huda talking.
I'm not really good at writing outlines and stuff like that.
Right.
So when I first started writing, it usually just starts with me just writing out like the first few pages or the first few sentences of the book, just to like get a feel of what I'm writing. And then from there, it just expands into like the actual book. And I just want to say first that it's a really big honor to be here on the Faith Grind Inspire podcast. I've been listening to it a lot, especially after meeting you, and it was such an honor to hear you speak at the program.
Oh, thank you.
I really like a lot of the things that you said. I thought about a lot ever since, especially when I asked you about like balancing the realism and idealism inside you, and how you told me just to go for it.
Yeah.
That really inspired me a lot too.
Oh, thank you.
And I've been listening to you on the podcast, so it's a really big honor to actually meet you in real life now.
Thank you.
he's the host with the toast.
Yeah. The king.
Oh God, here we go. Fair.
It's okay. It's all right.
Oh man.
It's all right.
So tell
me, Malia, where's Malia? I didn't hear Malia. How do you go about your process?
You're not escaping this.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. First thing I do is just like every other teenager, just like every other human, is procrastinate. I mean, who doesn't?
Oh, yeah, that's the most important step.
I like procrastinate so much when it like comes to writing. It's just because like who doesn't, you know? But first thing I did, well, my like first book was actually inspired by one word, and it was debt.
Debt. Like old money debt?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right. Okay. That's a good,
and
that's a good
funny
word.
Thing is, my first book, The Heart of Time, has nothing to do with money.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, the origin of it is my dad and I were talking, and my sister, eldest sister was also there, Sara Fayaz, and he was just talking, and he said the word debt, and I was only like, what, 9 then? So I heard the word, and I was like, huh. Death. And the first thing that came to my head was Death Valley. Mm. And honestly, like, I didn't really know what Death Valley was. It's a, but like, I was just like, okay, Death Valley is a graveyard. And then, like, literally right on the spot, my 9-year-old brain came up with a story. And I was like to my dad, hey, listen, I have a story idea. And I told him, and he was like, you should write it down, you know? Just like, he didn't really take me that seriously, but he did, like, he was like, you should write it down and maybe try to write a book out of it. And I can't believe, like, when I was thinking about it the other day, I was like, I can't believe my 9-year-old self actually went and started writing it down. You
That's
know?
Amazing.
There's
That's
some
amazing.
Next level connections that only children's brains can make.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's take it back a little step further, right?
Yeah.
And I want to applaud your dad for even dropping that seed,
saying
that, go write a book. You know, most parents would be like, oh, write it down on a piece of paper. He's talking about just go full-fledged book. Anyway, tell the people where you're from. Tell them your backgrounds. Tell them how old you are.
Yeah. Because
you guys are the youngest entrepreneurs that ever been on our show.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
No,
so,
definitely.
So I want to tell the people, feel honored interviewing you guys, you know, having this conversation. So tell the people who you are.
All right, I'll start. My name is Huda Ayaz. I'm the published author of 5 books so far. I write mostly fiction and fantasy, and I'm going to be 16 by the time this airs. So, I started writing when I was really young. Mm-hmm. Ever since I could read, I started to read every single book I got my hands on.
Mm-hmm.
Picture books, small books, children's books, everything. Mm-hmm. Back then it was only fiction, but now I've opened up to more nonfiction, but back then it was just fiction. So I started reading all of these books. And I grew up in an environment where reading in general was something that my parents stressed a lot. My dad used to read in front of us, he would write in front of us, and when we would see him, we would think, okay, let's read and write too. And one big thing that really got us into writing in the first place was our older sister, Sada Fayaz.
Mm-hmm.
She started, she would always write down short stories, poems, songs, stuff like that. And when she would write something that she particularly liked, she would sit at the table while we were all sitting down eating. She would take out what she had written and then read it to the entire family.
Mm.
So when she started doing that, Madhya and I started to like gain the courage to read in front of our family and share what we wrote and what we were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, this just kind of became a tradition amongst the sisters. And as for this book, for my first book, Fiza, A New Beginning, I started off writing it because of a dream that I had where I basically went to this planet of snow. And there was talking fairies, talking clouds, and all of these things.
Mm.
So first thing I did was share this story with my family. And then I started to write it out so that I wouldn't forget it. And when I started to write it, it just kept on. I kept on adding and adding onto it until it became like a mini draft. It was really small in the beginning. And after that, I knew that I wanted to add more to it because this is just the first draft. So I kept on going over and over and over it and making it more, like adding more things to it, adding more descriptions and learning a lot. Because it's funny, when you first start writing, especially like as a kid, you don't notice things like where the quotation marks go or the periods or commas or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, it was really messy. But I started to look at my book, looked at the books that I used to read with more attention. And I would realize where and what all of these authors would do to get their books published. And another thing is that these authors who wrote these books that I was inspired by, a lot of the times in the beginning, I would just think, oh, these books just exist. Because you're a kid, you don't really realize this type of stuff. That actual people have been putting work into these ideas to get them into these physical books that relay all their ideas in their head.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that go into making one book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to read about the authors in the back of the books.
Right.
And I started to realize that there's actual real people behind this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started checking out their websites, started thinking about it more. And that's like another inspiration that came to me to start writing myself. And eventually, after 3 months of writing, I had the first like full draft down for my book. And then I got it edited by my older sister, Sadaf. She's also the published author of a book. She wrote it when she was in ninth grade. And so she edited my book. And then after that, it took like the rest of the year after those 3 months of writing to get it actually published and mm-hmm. edited and get the cover and everything like that. And so that's how my first book came out. And eventually I started adding on to the series because when I was a kid, I mean, in general, my writing is often inspired by, or anyone's writing in general, whatever you read, it inspires you. So I started off reading lots of series and books that were fantasy, fiction, with fairies and all mm-hmm. this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So for me, writing a series was natural. So after I wrote this first book and it was off to editing, I had nothing to do in the time that I usually wrote in.
Mm.
So I would start to work on the second book.
Mm.
And then by the time this one was published, I'd have the second book almost done, then finish up that draft, and then I'd send that in, third book, and it just kept on going on like that.
Crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
That's discipline. How old are you at this time?
I was 9, yeah.
Jeez.
Wow.
And you know, it doesn't... It's
I thought
like,
I was a grinder. I'm not.
No, you are. You see a lot of things, too. The ACA branding, this podcast, real estate. No,
it's not about me.
So what is it like? What is your part? Tell us about you.
Tell us you.
So my name is...
Where are you guys from?
We were born in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
Yeah. We moved to Long Island 2 years ago,
okay.
But we're originally from Pakistan.
Okay, yeah. All right, Pakistan, mm-hmm. Brooklyn, yeah. And then now?
Long Island.
What part? Yeah.
Nassau County.
Nassau?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. I'm from Suffolk.
Suffolk, oh yeah, yeah. You told
me. But now I live in Brooklyn.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite. But now it's your turn.
So my name is Malia Ayaz, and I am... 15 now. I'm still getting used to saying 15. I just turned 15.
15? Happy birthday.
No, thank you.
Happy birthday. Happy belated.
And I wrote my first book, The Heart of Time, when I was 10. Rather, it got published then. And my second book is The Warriors of Actron, and that was published this April. For me, Huda was saying how as soon as she started to read, she was like able to. Like, as soon as she learned to read, she was like, just read and read and read. For me, it took a while to get actually into the habit of reading. And the actual like what made me want to start reading was a couple of friends back in fourth grade,
mm-hmm.
and they got my hands on the first book to the Harry Potter series. So they kept giving me the books, and I read every single one in that 1 year. And
in fourth grade.
In fourth grade, yeah. And well, listen,
and
my
Harry
friends
Potter
were
books are like thick books.
Yeah, yeah. Those are not small books.
They're so intriguing, though. Like,
yeah, they are intriguing,
more.
Man.
Like, even though I read the I've watched the movies, I just want to like read the books.
Right.
And,
right.
Like, I was so obsessed with the. With the books that I literally made a game with my friends. And we used to run around the whole entire school with pencils as wands. And everyone had their own, like, character. But yeah, after seeing the impact that J.K. Rowling had by, like, that one series, like, it was like, everyone spoke about it. And everyone just, like, loved it. I wanted to also, like, be able to make that impact.
Okay.
So when, as I mentioned earlier, when my dad was like, you should write this down. And I was like, I should write this down.
Mm. And I will.
Yeah, and I will. And I did. So that's kind of where my journey started. And I wrote my books after Huda and my elder sister Sadaf wrote theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like pumped up with this inspiration and like faith. That I can do it. Like, mm-hmm. So, like, my sisters did it. Why can't I?
Yeah, of course.
So, now, whenever I, like, when I published my first book and we went around, like, promoting it, telling people I wrote a book, it was so weird because everyone was just like, whoa, like some people didn't even believe us. They thought our dad wrote it.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, but like there are other people who like believed us, so like they were like so inspired, and they were just like fell in love with the idea that like we were so young, and we went out to do that, like what was considered impossible, because we were kids, you know?
It's very hard for people to like believe that we were able to, because when we were younger,
I believe it.
Thank you.
Trust me,
definitely.
But when I first started writing in fourth grade, I told my teachers, I told my classmates, I told my principal, my dad told my principal too, and he was like, everyone was like, sure, they didn't believe me or any of us. So when my book actually came out and I showed it to my entire class, I showed it to my teacher, I showed it to the principal, everyone said, I had no idea you would do this. I had no idea that you would actually go through and do it.
That's how it would be.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. All the time. The non-believers.
The non-believers.
Make them believers.
Make them believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you talked about your sisters. Is your brother a publisher author too?
Okay. He's working on it.
Oh, he's working, he's working on it?
He actually has a different style than any of us.
Uh-huh.
He writes all of his books down by hand.
Oh, wow.
Or like what he's working on.
Really?
So he has like two notebooks full of it. It's just about actually
putting it in the computer.
Putting it in the computer. All right. Well,
good luck.
Good luck, man. Yeah, you're going to make it happen, bro.
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt.
So now, what do you find is one of the most challenging parts of writing, you know, and putting out a book? Because you guys are young, and most kids are out trying to have fun and play video games and, like, hang out at the mall. How do you...
Hate video games.
How do you have the discipline to do this? You know, and then also, and your sister's not here to answer, but what made her write her first book? And is that the person who inspired you guys to, you know, because you said something like, I saw my sister do it, so I said I could do it, you know?
But you said that. I started writing first, and I published my first book first.
Oh, you published you wrote your book before your older sister.
Yeah. She's the one who inspired us to...
Get it right!
It's okay. It's confusing. I get it.
The boss is here.
She's the boss for real.
It's confusing. I get it, because like, all the ages are different, too. But yeah, I wrote my first book, and then my second book and her first book came out at the same time.
Got it.
Well, let's answer your first question first. About the most challenging part, there's a lot of things that come challenging. Especially, like you said, like when you see all your friends, you see them hanging out and like doing all this fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to myself, like, why am I sitting here doing all this work? But at the same time, our parents have always raised us to be very ambitious. They don't, when they hear we have a plan, they say, okay, do it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not like other parents where they'll be like, okay, sure, just like do it. Okay,
I like we'll see your parents.
Yeah, me too.
I like your
we
parents.
Gotta have your parents on
the
show.
Yeah, definitely.
Man.
We gotta get them on here, man.
They gotta.
I like
know,
that.
You guys is five.
Huh?
Right? Yeah. There's five of you guys.
Yeah, yeah, we're five siblings total.
Let's get the whole family on.
Yeah. Cool,
but we fit in here?
Yeah, we'll get,
another studio. Put you all in there.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Yeah,
so,
but yeah. So the discipline is really hard. Especially because when you're younger, there's like, the way that it worked for us to be able to have that discipline was that our TV was, it would stop showing the kids' shows at like 3:30 or something like that. So we'd come home and watch TV for a while, but then all the TV shows for cartoons would be done. So then we would do our homework, and then we'd have nothing to do, because as a kid, you don't get lots of homework.
Mm.
And so that's where we started to read, we started to write, and we got that time to be able to do that. So from there, we started to write those books and have that time to do it. Now that we're older, though, it's there's a lot less time to do it, especially because we're both in high school now. So there's a lot more work. There's a lot more stress on schoolwork.
So much.
And there's also like the thought of what are we going to do in the future, and so
college.
Many things that you have to do. Yeah, college.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Go to Columbia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you went.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging, just like putting in the hard work, setting away the time. And having the faith in yourself that you can do it.
Yeah.
That's what's most challenging for me.
What about you?
I mean, honestly, same. But like, I can't really... Like, she really just put everything that I was thinking into words. It really was that. Like, on top of that, growing up, I didn't have as many friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was just either TV or homework. And what else? What else are you going to do? You know, so yeah, that's definitely one of the factors. Okay. I had no friends, but
Malia has this thing
she's
too.
Like, I'm a loner.
Yeah,
Malia has this thing too, where she's like, she needs to be in the mood to write.
Oh right, yeah. So another thing is that like I realized this recently when I was writing my second book. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm in a sad mood, what I do to cope with it is like I take out a notebook or take out my laptop. I start listening to piano and I just start writing and furiously writing and writing and writing.
The Warriors of Action.
The Warriors of Actron. Right, yeah, no, I didn't really use this technique for that book because it was more like action and things like that.
Oh, okay.
But the third book I'm writing, it's filled with just emotion pouring out.
I love
and
it.
So that's why I work on it very minimally because I want it to be as like honest as possible. I want to tell people, like, show emotions with words, because I think that's just so powerful, and that's what I love about writing.
Yeah, me too.
That you can, like, you can show so much with just three words, you know?
I just think that your approach to writing and the type of writing that you guys are doing and the amount that you're doing, it's so inspiring.
Thank you.
You know, so and I think that you guys are going to... Let me ask you a question. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Where do you see...
I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow.
So you didn't think about it?
No, I think about it a lot. The future is something
that... We think about it so much.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, we talk much. About it a lot.
So what do you say? What do you guys talk about? What do you guys say?
You know what's funny?
It's like, funny. We had the weirdest conversations. Go ahead.
Every night. So we share a room, right? So every single night, she asks me this question.
What do you want to do with your life?
You know?
That's a good question.
But, like, and then I say, I don't know. And then I ask her, she's like, I told you already, I don't know. And then it goes like that back and forth. And we just keep asking the same question and pondering over it continuously. And 5 years from now?
Yeah. Did anybody ever think, like...
I'd be 20 then.
What? You'd be 20. At least you'd be in college? Maybe?
I'd be in college.
Yeah?
I don't know.
No.
Maybe I have 5 more books.
Yeah, 5 more books.
Yeah, hopefully, I'm still writing. I really hope so.
Yeah, writing is something that I definitely want to continue in my life. Like, even if it's just as a hobby, I think writing will always be important to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely it is. Writing is super important. And I think that when you're a writer, right, life looks a little different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You put it in words. Yeah.
It looks a little different. And intrinsically, you're absolutely open to experience something. That's why we read. You know what I mean? Writers who don't read, I don't see how they could write.
Yeah.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you're a writer, and when you're a writer who wants to appeal to the mass, or you want to appeal to a certain audience, it's important that you pay attention to what you want to say.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I like the fact that you guys are paying attention to what you want to say, and I want you guys to put a little bit more thought into what you're going to do with your life.
Yeah. Because, like, even as, like, this podcast name, Inspire, it's something that's really important to me to be able to, like, do something.
Definitely inspiring.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I want to do, like, my life, I want to be, like, a source of inspiration for other people. I don't want to simply live it and, like, do whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But more to, like, do things for humanity, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As I was saying earlier, like, how when we first came out, like, we were only 10, right? And people were like, oh, my God, you're so amazing, things like that. And I was just like, if I'm so amazing, you know, it, like, if I'm, like, at, like, a point where I can inspire people, then I should be focusing on that, you know? And now, like, whenever I meet people, I, like, try to encourage them. Like, don't even write a book. Do something that you want to do. And, like, age is not a limit. So many people, so, like, my age, teenagers, so many people in my school think that their age is a limit.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's true.
And even, like, older people, they think, oh, I'm older. I'm all, like, life is
yeah.
Life ending. Is over. No, life is not over.
Yeah, like, I hate, it's a mindset that, like, puts you... Like, when you keep thinking something like that, you won't be able to do something because you're just so fixed on, like, that negative thought. So that's why, like, whenever I meet people, I try to, like, encourage them and try to get them out of that mindset because there's so many people who are, like, and today, like, the people of today, we need that. We need someone to, like, try, like, take us out of that, like, negative light and, like, show us that anything is possible.
Agents you know, of change.
You know, there's one book I had read about the art of writing in particular. And it was probably one of the best, because I've read hundreds of books on writing. But Stephen King has a book called On Writing. Yeah. On Writing.
I haven't read it yet, but I need to.
No, it's like, I'm telling you, if you're a writer, you should actually take a really closer look at this book. Because one of the things that this book really introduces you to is the fact that you have to make use of the tools that are in your tool chest or in your tool case or whatever. Because when it comes to writing, there are a lot of tools in writing.
Yeah.
Assimilation. Epigrammatic flows.
I don't know what that is.
Right. We're talking to the screenwriter right here.
Oh,
right. He writes movies.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So you guys will learn these tools because you're actually, although you guys have written books already, you're still at that beginning stage still. And you guys are going to get older and you're going to have more experience and you're going to be able to tell even more graphic stories. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then those tools, you see those tools, like those things I've mentioned?
Yeah.
You're going to learn those and you're going to learn other skills and other ways to express yourself. That's why I think you should really hone in on your craft so you guys can sell a lot of books.
So
make a lot of money.
Talk about selling, right? How do you market your books as?
Oh, the Rev 21 Media.
What? Yeah, Rev 21 Media.
Yeah.
What do I answer first?
Jumping,
no,
am I jumping ahead?
Yeah, I wanted to
I'm sorry.
Say.
I'm sorry.
No, I wanted to tell us.
So Rev 21 Media?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
am I getting interviewed?
Yeah, right? I was like, thank you, Jeff.
Sorry,
he's super excited. He's
sorry, I know.
me.
Sorry.
So tell us, ladies.
Sorry,
guys.
So, all right.
But yeah, Rev 21 Media is a media company founded by our older sister, Sada Fayaz.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, it provides a platform for minority youth to talk about the issues of the world. So that it's not just like you're hearing things from the typical viewpoint, but you're hearing things from what kids are saying, are thinking, and minority kids too.
Yeah.
Because there's so many issues that, like I was reading about this in an SAT like practice thing that I was doing, that they're slowly cutting away how many foreign like news reporters there are. So having like a company like Rev 21 that provides a platform for both those foreign like
distinguished.
Yeah.
Right.
So basically, giving that platform. And on top of that, they also like produce documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had a documentary for Black History Month where people talked about their experience as an African American. So yeah.
So Archway Publishing is what then?
Archway Publishing? Yeah. Oh no, that's separate from Rev 21.
Right.
This is you know Simon & Schuster, the publishing company.
Yeah.
So under Simon & Schuster's Archway Publishing, and I got my first four books published from them.
Oh, we self-publish, so all of our books are self-published.
Nice.
Her first four books, right?
Yeah.
Archway Publishing, and my first book was Virgo eBooks, and my older sister's as well was Virgo eBooks, and then the last one that I just published was Authors. Authors Unite. Yeah. So.
Wow. That's amazing.
You know, Authors Unite.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think I've heard of that.
He's also the Tyler Wagner. He's an entrepreneur too.
Right.
Right.
So, so you sell your books on Amazon, you sell your books on your own website.
Yeah, they're on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Basically, if you search up our names or our book titles, they'll come up.
They'll come up.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Friesland, New Beginning.
And then
The Heart of Time and The Warriors of Acton are my books.
What's that book about? The Warriors of...
So, this one went through, like, so much... Like, when I first started writing it, it was just, like, a blob of words, and I had no idea what it was. But it's about a girl named Evelyn, and basically she goes through, like, her mom gets kidnapped by her uncle, and that's, like, so her mom gets kidnapped by her uncle, and then she meets other people from, like, a whole other world type thing, and then they basically, she finds out a whole other, like, side to her own personality, and basically, yeah, it's just, like, her finding her, like, self. Finding more about herself and her family and,
it's like a coming of age type of a thing?
Yeah.
But it's also fiction, right?
Fiction, fantasy.
Yeah.
Action.
Action.
Yeah, action-packed. I see like that as a movie, man.
I like the title. Yeah. I like the title.
Actually, Who This Book was nominated for... it was like...
For Hollywood?
Yeah, for Hollywood.
So,
I'm going to say it. She goes with it.
So, a few producers had accepted my book to... My Free Design of Beginning, the first book, mm-hmm. to make it a movie or TV show or a cartoon. So,
really?
Wow. Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man. So, are you going to do it?
I mean, I'm not going to do it because I don't know how to do that.
No.
But they're going to do it, yeah.
So, they actually... They cut a check. never
mind. It takes a while for them to get back to you. So yeah, but they accepted my book, so...
Oh, okay.
Let me talk about what my books are about, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So, definitely. The Freelance series is about a girl named Samantha Ringel who meets a snowflake fairy from a secret planet called Freelance.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes there to save it from an evil man who's trying to make the world sad and dark. Mm-hmm. So, in the rest of the series, that one villain's family keeps on going after this planet. Mm-hmm. And then she finds out that there's more planets, and it just evolves from there. And my fifth book is called Angie Moon and the Legends of Speedster. While Friesland is more for kids and fantasy fiction,
mm-hmm.
this Angie Moon and the Legends, the Speedster, is science fiction and fantasy as well. And it's about a girl named Angie who finds out that she's half Loch Ness, half human, and that there's this entire world of other legends. And when one of her friends in this new world disappears, she has to go out and find them while she's being accused of being the one who got like rid of them in the first place. But... I think that's something funny about my books that I like to talk about. The fact that all of my characters are white. Like,
that's funny.
It's so interesting.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, all of my characters are white.
That's funny.
I grew up reading books that all featured white characters. So when I started writing, there it's weird to think about it now, but there was no concept of there not being a white character as a main character.
That is hilarious.
See it's how really it is.
Yeah, no, because it's
even
when you're
the cartoons and everything like that. I literally
don't see yourself.
Yeah.
There's no reflection of you. So how
when
are you
grow
gonna,
up thinking, yeah, like watching
you
that
you gotta
stuff.
Reflect that.
Yeah.
You're reflecting what you see.
So are any of your characters ever gonna be like a reflection of you?
Yeah. I mean, initially in this book, there in the Angie Moon and the Legends, there's a character who's a Muslim hijabi.
Okay.
But like she was a side character and like like this is something that I only realized starting ninth grade. Because for all my life, I went to a school with other Muslims, too. So when I moved to Long Island, I started going to public school.
That was our first time in public school.
Yeah, and we
pretty
were the...
pretty scary.
Not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah,
it's
we so were the only different. Hijabis in our so entire different. School. So it was then that I started to realize, like, people would be like, oh, okay. And then, like, avoid our gaze. Or it would be weird. Like, there's this, like, there's always that bit of, like, it feels weird. So
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, ninth grade, I started to feel that. And it's then that the message of Rev 21 that really, like, came to me. Like, I didn't really understand it before. But after coming to this high school and its environment where you notice that there's still, like, it feels weird. And I started to think about the fact that all my books have white characters because of the fact that it never came to me that I could possibly have a hijabi character or a Muslim character like me.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I did a TED Talk about this with my school, and because we all had to do a TED Talk in English. So I did it about this topic, and I learned so much about the fact that it's not like diverse entertainment isn't being created. It's about it not being promoted properly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the times they, like, for books with main characters who aren't white, they'll be put under multicultural shows.
Yep.
And those are in, like, obscure places, so it's hard to find them in the first place.
Yeah, right.
And then they don't sell. And then people assume that it's because they have diverse characters and that no one wants diverse characters. And just an ongoing cycle. It keeps going and going and going. And it's kind of crazy to think about because, like, I think about it myself, how am I going to change that? Like, where do I have a place to do that? But at the same time, it's like I already have so many ideas about books that or other entertainment that I could have characters who look like me or other diverse characters.
Right.
Because there seriously is a lack of
Right. And you're right. And you're absolutely right. The diversity and inclusion bit to everything that we're dealing with now in our society is something that, you know, we have to really take a closer look at because when we say diversity and inclusion, we don't really mean exclusion of white people.
Yeah.
You see, and that's like an error. Yeah. It's erroneous for people to think that when we're saying that, we're really trying to exclude a certain type of people, which is not the case, right? We want to have a society, a utopia, you know, that has everyone in it.
Everyone
that's
in it.
Working together in a way that's going to be productive to all of us. I just wrote a paper on it's called Lucratively Living, Looking Through the Lens of Longevity. And it has, right. That's assimilation. You'll learn that. Right, you got that. Right. So, the paper has to do with us, how and why we're living longer. And actually, since the year 1900, we've actually added 30 years to human lifespan. So we were dying out at age 50 on average. Now we're dying out at age 80. You see what I'm saying? So we have to think about that little part of life that we're getting, that extra little one-third, that's where everyone is living extra. And that is a whole nother realm of life where we have to capitalize on, and we have to make it so that these, you don't want to say elderhood, the elderhood lifespan is something that we have to consider because of the simple fact that caregivers, you know, the caregivers are also going to be a major factor, because you think about it, there's going to be more older people. So who's going to be taking care of these people?
Yeah.
And it's something we got to think about when we're talking about diversity and inclusion, because, you know, ageism plays a part. In America, just like racism and sexism and all of the other isms and schisms that's out there. So we have to realize that everyone needs to be considered.
Yeah.
And that's what writing. Have you ever read a Harry Potter's book?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you, Jane? Have you ever read a Harry Potter?
No.
I just watched movies.
I read one Harry Potter book.
Okay.
The Goblet of Fire.
Goblet of Fire.
Right. The Goblet of Fire. And it was so captivating. You know what I'm saying? The reading. And not only that, right? When I was reading it, I saw the universal appeal to Harry Potter. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the more you can have a universal, I'm only mentioning this because we're talking about diversity and inclusion. And Harry Potter is inclusive. You know?
They're old characters too, yeah.
It's an inclusive.
Dumbledore.
Yeah, it's an inclusive concept. I know it has a lot of fantasy in it, and some church people don't really go for it. But you see where, you know what I mean?
Why people like it so much.
Yeah, you can see that. You can actually, when I read it, I mean, I didn't read another one because I don't have the time. Because they consume a lot of time when you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're reading a Harry Potter book. Cause first of all, you get engrossed.
And
you're like, wait a minute,
it's
what
hard
happened?
To stop, right?
Yeah, and you got, like, I got things to do. So I never really, like, when I retire, maybe I'll decide to read the whole series. But as of now, no, I'm not going to read Harry Potter's book. But they're very engrossing, and they encapsulate the whole idea of a universal appeal and how we can actually, you know, capitulate to this idea.
And there's so much to learn from reading Harry Potter, too. Reading from any book, like, really. Because on top of, like, the themes they have.
The vocabulary, after reading that Harry Potter, my vocabulary had increased. Am I lying?
No, it's true, yeah.
That book had so many words in it that I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, when I started reading, like, little children's books about fairies and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
So they don't have really, like, complicated plots or stories to them. So that's what I started writing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I started reading Percy Jackson, Harry mm-hmm. Potter, and I realized that there was a lot more that you could do with the book's idea
mm-hmm.
to make it more captivating, make it more complex. Mm-hmm. And like when you become a writer, it's hard to read anything without thinking, how did they do this? How did they do this? And reading everything with a lot more attention than you would have if you weren't a writer. So I started to learn from them how to make your books more complex, mm-hmm. how to make them more interesting. And
layers.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially with Harry Potter, it's like there's layers. So many things to it.
There's layers.
To hone into every single thing.
Layers. You're like, wait a minute. I know somebody like that.
Just reading the podcast, the Harry Potter fan club.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to have to try and see if we can have that universal appeal in whatever we write and whatever we do. Because writing, it is not an easy task.
No.
It's not. I don't know any writer who would say
it's a gift.
That it's an easy task. But those of us who actually put our thoughts into words so we can actually have an emotional connection with other people, we understand that we must do it. That we couldn't be like, no, I'm not gonna write that. I don't see any writer who would say that they're inspired to write something and they'd be like, no, I'm not gonna write that.
Yeah, there's pressure that comes within you too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're not gonna be like, no. You even you know, I never procrastinate when I write.
Really?
And I never have writer's block.
Really?
Never.
Oh, wow. Please explain.
Yeah.
She's like, move. I'm gonna do this one.
Here's how I never procrastinate and I never have writer's block.
Please tell us.
First of all, I find a topic. Right? I find a topic that makes me say, wait a minute. Like ageism. You see what I'm writing about now?
Yeah.
The elderly. And then I research it until my eyeballs bleed. I don't stop. I keep looking at it, and I keep reading on it. And for this paper I wrote, I must have read 50 books.
Oh, wow.
Right. At least.
An article. You're getting
tired
of it.
No.
Because something intrigues you.
Yeah. So now that I have sucked all of that in, when I go to write, it's going to come.
Keeps coming. Yeah.
And I never have writer's block for that particular reason. If you find yourself with writer's block, the first thing you have to do is find a library. Find a library. When I was at Columbia, I lived in the library because everything was there. A matter of fact, the way I got through Columbia is that I made friends with all the librarians that were in my studies, in my discipline. Because the librarians were able to put me into rooms that I didn't even know existed.
Libraries are magical places.
It is
magical places.
No, yeah. No, seriously. Nancy Freeland, she's the librarian at Columbia University for the film studies department. And she showed me things and pointed me in directions. She had this gift to provide right answers to wrong questions. Right. You leave out of there, be like, I didn't know I was that smart. She had a gift where you go in there and you ask her, and she's like, no. That's not what you want. Look at this. And she'll point you in the right direction, and you'll be like, wait a minute, I didn't know this exists.
Man, I wish I had her for that TED Talk. I needed a book so bad for that, but it was so hard to find anything.
But that's why you should make friends with the librarians. Wherever you're studying, you make sure you make friends with the librarian so that the librarian will be able to point you in the right direction to make sure that you'll never have a block. Never. You'll never have a block. You won't have a block because, first of all, you'll be conscious of it, and second of all, you'll be waiting for it. You're going to be waiting for that block. You're going to make sure that when that block comes, you have all the power in you to annihilate it. And that's how I never have a writer's block. Boom, okay. Like that. If you want me to write something, ask Gene.
Oh, yeah. It's right away.
Yeah. Boom.
Wow.
Boom, 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 boom. Just keep it coming.
So late.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Gene. Go ahead.
I wrote a paper for an economics class that I was taking a year ago, and after I wrote the paper, the professor asked me to write him a letter of recommendation.
What? Wait, the professor asked you?
Yes. Right.
Really? Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
So
right. So you make sure that you pay attention to what you want to write on that topic,
getting
and
all
then
that knowledge.
And then when you get that topic, you do not stop. You do not stop. Don't let no one tell you different. All my friends be coming to my window. You still studying? Yes. Yes, I'm still studying. I wonder how long it'll take them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just make sure that you don't stop with the topic that you want to explore. Once you have that topic, you go in the ins and out about it. Like this topic on ageism I had no idea how we were living so much longer and how we're going to continue to grow until I started to look at it. I'm hogging the show. I'm sorry.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was just getting fascinated.
I know, it's so intriguing.
Yeah, it is intriguing. I'm learning a lot. But this is, you know what?
Yeah.
His words, I was like, yeah, I almost forgot where I was.
Yeah, let me know.
Ladies.
Yeah, let's get back to it.
Okay, we can always talk later.
Yes.
We're going to have a show about ageism, man.
Yeah.
So, listen, ladies.
Yeah.
Tell us. Like something about you guys that, or something about your entrepreneur journey that, you know, would help other people. Something that you learned about yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. Well, I'll be honest. I didn't know what an entrepreneur was for a really long time until my sister began getting into Rev21 and creating it. So through that, I started to learn about what being an entrepreneur was. What that type of mindset is supposed to be like this entire podcast is about. And just the discipline, that's so important. And it's about, like, a lot of time, there are people who are perfectionists, and then there are people who are, like, not going to do it at all. For the people who are perfectionists, like, there's always going to be outlining and, like, planning that's going to happen. But to get to that point, to actually start what you want to do, and to get it into action is the most important part. And I find that difficult for, like, anything. Because a lot of the time, I'm that perfectionist. Because I want to be prepared. I want to have everything written out for me. But you have to be able to work on what you want to do without a plan. So that you can actually get it done. Instead of just sitting down thinking about it forever.
Don't overplan.
Yeah. Okay. And like you said, like, take the risk.
Yeah.
Instead of being so concerned about what is, of whether you're being too idealistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's true. And, you know, to be totally transparent, right? So I think that's one of the things that really hold a lot of people back, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm a perfectionist. Like, I want, if you're my client, I'm telling you everything you need to do. It's super easy. But when it comes down to me, it'll take me. I'll keep planning. I'm looking at it. I'm gonna review it, and don't start.
Yeah.
And then I get anxiety because I didn't start, because I know I need to start, and then all of a sudden, like, I panic attacks. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I start. But thank God I have accountability partners, and I'll call them because I'm self aware of what's going on.
He doesn't call me though.
I did call you. I called you yesterday. What are you talking about? Oh, you were like, God. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But so I called him yesterday, man. Anyway.
Stop
so,
your tracks.
Yeah, and then he tells me, yo, I'm watching a movie with my wife. I was like, oh man, I need you, bro.
Ooh, sorry. It backfired.
Yeah. See? But no. But we did speak before funny. That, yeah. And then I called him back because I just wanted to, you know, I felt better. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's one thing too. Accountability, like, yeah. You know, just starting. So I love that point that you're talking about where it's like, don't overthink it. Yeah. Just start. Get you know what I'm saying? Fear. Get over that fear. And sometimes when you're looking at, matter of fact, you guys are young. Let me ask you guys, how do you think social media plays a part in how you look at being an entrepreneur, young entrepreneur? Because you're looking at entrepreneurs who are older, who've been doing it longer, who have more experience, who have more resources. Like, do you guys ever feel like, oh, man, I'm not doing enough? Or do you ever, like, how does social media impact you? Because I know in school, they talk about cyberbullying. Yeah. But as adults, we're not in school no more. So we hear kids like, oh, how are you getting bullied on social media? Like, that's stupid. Like, you know, that's not real.
Yeah.
But how do you, because you guys are superstars probably in school because you guys wrote books. You guys are authors, you know? Most kids never even meet authors.
Malia has no friends.
No, she has friends. friends now. She has friends now. She's a star, man.
Oh, God.
You know? So she's a celebrity. But so go ahead. Answer it.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, yeah. I think, like, when people look at, like, other people on social media, like, I'm talking about the people who actually have a following mm-hmm. and, you know, people they look up to,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the time you just get insecure, you know? Like, or, like, you start feeling like you're missing out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you feel like I feel like I'm not doing enough. Whenever I see other people doing such amazing things, I think I should also be, you know? I should also...
More.
Yeah, I should be doing more. And I don't think it's a bad feeling, but, like, it is a bad thing when it becomes, like, an obsession where it's, like, I have to be like that person. And that's what so many teenagers are, like, striving for. Like, there's another thing. Nowadays, there's, like, there's labels for, like, a specific type of personality. Like, you know VSCO?
No.
Okay, well, it's a popular, VSCO? Like, app for, like, teenagers, I guess. And there's, like, that, like, label, VSCO Girl, okay?
VSCO.
And VSCO Girl, yeah.
Uh-oh, you just dropped a new one. Stefan is like, I don't know that one either. You old, bro.
I didn't know that until school happened, but
I didn't know what VSCO stood for till now. But
okay. Yeah, but like, just like there's so many like labels, like you have to be like that if you want to fit in, or if you want people to like you, if you want to be popular, you have to wear a scrungie on your hand.
Or you not know, do
it's
that.
Like the small little things that like people change about themselves instead of living the moment and like being themselves. And I think not living the moment is such a
mistake.
Yeah, it's such a mistake. Like I say, like in my head, I always think YOLO, you know. But and it's not like more people think that. You know what I mean? Like you only live once. You shouldn't be.
I like it.
YOLO.
No, I hear it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I think people forget that, and when they like start focusing so much on being other people.
Yeah, it's hard to like keep your own personality, especially because social media, like especially as kids. You're seeing all these people who you're being to idolize.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes difficult to see, like, then who am I? Mm-hmm. Or what should I be like? And like she was saying, when you see other people doing so much, you begin to think, like, what am I doing?
You know what I like about social media? Because I'm not on social media. But I think it's a lie, social media. I think it's a lie to a certain extent. I mean, people use it again.
It's a big commercial.
Yeah.
It's a highlight reel. You know?
Yeah, I guess Gene would
unless
know more.
Unless you're doing like an Instagram live or one of those stories where you're actually seeing what's going on in this person's like life right now, everything else is created. Yeah. It's orchestrated. Like, you have to create the post, the perfect picture. You know, everything has to be perfect.
You craft what parts of your life you want to show, what you want to hide.
I just show you this side. I don't show you that side, you know?
And
I'm taking out the garbage.
I'm taking out the garbage. but you don't see nothing else, but the garbage looks all manicured. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so everything just looks so well put together. And it's just...
And then,
but
you know,
they don't
funny?
See the process.
Yeah.
When people do see like a bad side or something, they're shocked. Like, why are you shocked? Why you shouldn't be shocked when you probably have a similar life too.
Of course,
yeah.
And but other people will be inspired by that too, because they're like, oh my God, thank God.
Like, I'm not alone.
Yeah, I'm not alone. You know,
I feel like there's another
misery loves company.
Yeah,
and it's better. It's people can relate. You know, because I think you guys are doing amazing things, and writing books is an amazing feat.
Absolutely,
and you're gonna inspire people. But at the same time, I think. If you show the process, like, hey, you know, today was one of those days where I need to be inspired, so I'm going to play some piano. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so that I can write. And that part of it, and showing that part too, not the finished part, you know, it's just...
Show the process.
The process. Yeah. Show the process and let people see that. And I'm telling you, like, you will be able to brand yourself a little bit more, right? And because when people see that real side of you... I noticed that my followers on Instagram went up once I started showing my family. Once I started showing that, hey, I'm a dad. I take the day off and I hang out with my dad at the park. I mean, my son at the park.
Your dad too.
I did. I went golfing with my dad and I showed that. And my son is in the background screaming, go daddy, oh my God. And so, and just hanging out, I'm not always in a suit, you know, but everyone always thinks I'm in a suit. because I'm always working, because I always show me working. I never show me just chilling at home or walking the dog, you know? I remember one part, one time, I called it Instagram at night, right? Instagram with Isis, right? So Isis is my dog. I have a pit bull. And we would walk in the, like, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I would go on Instagram Live and answer questions. But most of the people were, like, in California and around the other, you know, around the world.
Different time zones.
Different time zones.
They were awake.
And, it wasn't really New York people. But it was cool because people were getting on, asking me questions about entrepreneurship. And I could talk forever about entrepreneurship. So, anyway. And it was fun. It was real. People loved it. You know, I stopped doing it because my knee hurts.
It's hard to show that authentic
side. But it was good. Yeah.
On top of that, let's say you are, like, I heard someone the other day, and she was talking about how a lot of the time when you're outside and you're doing something, people feel the need to take out a camera and just, like, start filming it because I have to show everyone what I'm doing. But at the same time, how I was saying, living the moment, that takes away from it.
Exactly.
Like, let's say you're going out with friends, you take out a camera, suddenly everyone gets awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Especially
when everyone's like, wait, let me
do this right here. Yeah. Some people don't even know how to act in front of the camera. Like, even me, I'm so bad at it. But
when the camera comes out, the persona
changes.
Yeah.
Completely changes.
The camera does something. There's something about, like,
the
filmmaking will show you that acting is really something that we all do on a certain level.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So when the camera comes out, the camera pulls out that form of being, which is, like, you know, everything in camera is fake, right?
Aren't the fairies real, though?
when you go to Harry Potter land, yo, like,
you start to question.
You start thinking that dragon is real.
No,
you feel
it's
the heat.
You know what?
You ever been to Disney?
No, I haven't.
Yo,
Games of Thrones. I don't know if you guys watch it. Probably.
No, we haven't.
Universal.
When you get a chance, you can watch it. Yeah, it's another series that I think it's more older. Game of Thrones.
Oh, Game of Thrones? You never saw Game of Thrones?
No.
It's like too long for me.
Game of Thrones is a big joke.
Yeah.
But talking about mindset, last question, right? Yeah. Matter of fact, we have two questions. But what mindset do you think is your greatest superpower?
Okay. Do you want to go first or...
I'm thinking.
All right, I'll go first. So, well, there's, like, this concept of having, like, Mindy was talking about this a bit before, but there's this concept of having an internal locus of control and an external locus of control, and it all has to do with how much power you believe you have.
Right.
And a lot of the time, people will be like, oh, I wasn't able to do this because, or I don't have time to work on my book today because I have too much homework to do. But in reality, you were playing around for half the time and wasting your time when in time you could have been working. And that's what caused it to end up having no time. Because there's always something that you could, some time you could take out if you have if you put in, like, the hard work to separate that time out for yourself. And, like, just, what was I saying?
You were telling me your superpower.
Yeah. So just having that remembering that the fact that you have control over your life,
okay,
instead of blaming other things for causing things to happen, because it's such a negative mindset to have that, I can't do this because of my skin color, I can't do this because of my age, I can't do this because of where I'm from. Just getting out of that mindset and believing that as long as you put in the hard work and you grind and have faith in yourself and have a good intention for what you do, I think intention is so important.
Mm.
Then that's when you can actually go out there and inspire others.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, your turn. She's like, yeah, what my sister mindset? Said. Your superpower.
I mean, nowadays, I feel like I spoke about positive mindsets already so much, but that really is what I'm focusing on nowadays, just, like, get into the habit.
No, your superpower. Like, what makes you great?
What makes me great?
Yeah. What's your superpower?
Okay, honestly,
main theme of your book.
Yeah, so the main theme of my first book is, like, if you have a positive mindset, everything, like, things will go well. And if you have a wrong mindset, things won't go, like, as well. And that's kind of what she was talking about as well. But I mean, a mindset I have is when I, like, when I am passionate about something, I go full force. Yeah. And I, like, I keep running and running and running until I get that thing done. Mm. And right now, at this, like, age, I feel that, you know? And I feel it constantly when I go to sleep, when I wake up. I just feel it. And I just want to keep running and running, just do something with my life.
All right, you're tenacious.
Yeah,
tenacious. She's very tenacious.
When I think about it, when I sit down and I'm like lazing around, like even nowadays, watching things on Netflix, just watching things in general makes me so
feel
mad.
Guilty.
I should be doing something else. I could be doing something else. I could be like out there doing something great, inspiring people.
Right. You know? Who's your favorite author?
Author?
Right now, Paulo Coelho.
Right now, for me, it's Madeline Miller.
Okay.
Yeah. She inspires me so much. Her writing is so poetic, and that's like what I strive for. Like,
Who's your favorite writer, Gene?
Mine, me.
That's the best answer.
You are
the writer of your own life.
Yeah, I am. Sorry. But actually, Jeff is actually one of my favorites, man. Like, but he's a screenwriter, but the way he writes is just. And the way he does it is just amazing to me. I mean, I like a lot of different people, but Jeff is actually one of my favorites. You know, just because of his writing style and the work that I know he puts, because I see the process. I'm on the phone with him.
Perseverance, yeah.
You know, so it's different when you see someone actually doing it versus the finished product. Like, I don't know those other people.
Yeah,
you know,
I
see the finished product, but I know, okay, this is what I expect from them. You know, so, but it's all good. The last question, ladies. You ready?
Okay.
What, out of the three words, faith, grind, inspire, which one resonates with you and why? You go first.
Okay. I think when I was, before I turned 14, it was always faith. Like, I need to have faith in myself. Mm-hmm. In order to get anywhere, you know, I need to start believing in myself. But this year, 2019, has been such a grinding, you know, year for me. Like, I even started...
I like it.
I went out to... Like, I started a YouTube channel, and being the introvert I am, I'm, like, so, like, shy. Like, when I, like...
When you get in front of the camera.
When I get... front of the camera, I started like getting like really shy, and even like when I first filmed my first video, I showed it to Huda, and she was like, "Is there
someone holding a gun to your head?"
She looks so scared. But so I practiced, and literally the second time I shot, I got so much better at it, and I was already like more confident. But yeah, I honestly been striving and just kept on running this year. So
grind.
Yeah.
Okay. Time spent brings you the reward.
Facts.
Yeah. For me, when I first heard the question, like I was listening to your podcast, so I heard the question, of course. So I thought about it, and I was like, my first answer, like if you asked me, like immediately, I would say grind, because hard work is something that's so important to me, and I always talk about it with everyone about how much hard work. Is so important to doing anything. But like what really is important to me though is inspire, because like I said before, intention is so important for me. To have a proper intention that isn't just let me get famous or let me get this many followers, to have like my intention is to inspire others. I want to inspire others to like be able to do what they want to do despite age, despite their color, their skin, because a lot of the time you feel discouraged by things like this. They're extrinsic qualities. But to be able to believe in your intrinsic qualities and put the work into having them, like, to actually work into making something happen.
Materialize.
Yeah. Mm. So I really, that's important to me, to inspire others to do so.
Crystallize.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Inspire is definitely something.
Ladies, tell the people where they can find you.
Where we can get
the
books.
Where they can find the books.
We are both on Instagram, Twitter. I'm usually Huda, Huda underscore Ayaz Ayaz. And my first four books are part of the Friesland series. And my fifth book, the series is the Angie Moon and the Legends series. So all these books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you search our names up or search our titles up, you'll find us. And we also have a website, www.ayazsisters.com. Ayaz. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to read that.
And you guys can find me on Instagram at Maliha underscore Ayaz, M-A-L-I-H-A underscore A-Y-A-Z. And on YouTube, I'm... I just changed it. And on YouTube, I'm just Maliha Ayaz.
Nice. So, yeah. All right. Okay. So, guys, I want to say thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, ladies.
It was such a great conversation.
No, absolutely.
It was a wonderful one.
As you guys know, every Wednesday, you could catch us right here.
Live.
Live.
Madison Square Garden.
Home of the Knicks.
Yeah.
Home of Gene and Jeff.
That's right.
OG Podcast Network. Thank you to our producers, Tim, Jamie,
Big
Jamie. Today, Stefan. Right?
Stefan on the mic.
On the mic. Well,
on the camera.
On the camera. Right? And Stefan is the man. And he just had a baby. So congratulations.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Stefan said I didn't have the baby.
Baby boy. So congrats, man. And so continue to grind, continue to shine.
Yeah, right? For real.
And keep going. Keep going no matter
definitely.
What.
You good know, luck, ladies.
You can find us.
Thank you.
Find us every Wednesday, faithgrindinspire.com. You can Instagram, it's faithgrindinspire. And on my personal one is Mr. Alert. On YouTube, search Faith Grind Spy. Share with your friends. This episode is going to be fire.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, keep grinding.
Very inspiring. Faith. Jeffrey at faithgrindinspired.com.
You can email Jeff.
Jeffrey.
At
faithgrindinspired.com, baby.
Peace.
All right, take care.